Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here. Sorry to someone who wrote in and complained about the noise on the show and saying that the mics were too low and that kind of stuff. We've done our best, but we are working in improvisation in lockdown, so we'll keep trying our hardest, I promise you, but we will have some shows that may not be perfect. The chat room is already giving us grief. So Bob Beach says the video and audio is great, and then Windrider's put broken's more like afterwards. So I'm lost now as to what the relationships are. We're doing a backup recording and we're mashing it together afterwards if we have to. And if it's a little bit crumply in the live show, then oh well. Joining me, the regulars, the fantastic bunch, the foursome with the most. It is Jeffrey, it is Callum, it is Doc, and it is Patrice. Jeffrey, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm doing all right, and I'm happy to see everyone today.
Well, we're happy to see you as well, mate. What's the Boulder Big Cat report?
Boulder Big Cat report is the big cats are still roaming around, and people have been setting cameras up in their windows at night. So we're getting footage of the big cats roaming through the alleys and hanging out in people's yards. And I'm sure this comes as a surprise. There are more posters going up where people are asking if anyone has seen their small cats and dogs.
Oh, that's bad. That's not good.
Yeah. And the bears are waking up. So now we have to pay attention for the bears.
Oh, bears.
So cats and bears fighting in the middle of the street in Boulder.
Oh my.
Yeah, it's going to be epic.
It is. Who needs
Someone should make a film with that.
Who needs WWE? Yeah, pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Black bear versus big cat. Should be good.
Yeah. That's what and this is our 1 week of spring.
Your 1 week of spring, because it just goes straight to summer then.
Yes. We had 15 inches of snow last week. It's in the 50s and 60s this week, and on Sunday, the temperature jumps up to 77, and on Monday, it's 80. Mm. So, so we get 1 week of spring, which is pretty normal.
23 today, which is centigrade, which is high. Really good.
Yeah.
It's mid-80s-ish, something like that. We'll take it. Yeah. I'm inside with the air conditioning on, though.
Phoenix has already hit or will hit 105 next couple of days, so
yeah, but it's
crossing
Phoenix,
the
mate.
100.
It's the frying pan
but it's
of
early.
America.
That's true, but it's very early for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Callum, how the devil are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Ticking over, getting there, trying to keep busy.
Confessed to a haircut as well, same as mine,
I've confessed to a haircut. I was a bit lucky that mine came out a touch better. Whether you were going to that.
Mine was done with love. It was my daughter.
Yeah, of course.
What can I say?
It looks great.
Yeah.
No, just I'm sure with everyone who can't work from home. Trying to tick over and trying to carry on.
Pumas versus Bears, said Batwinch. That does sound like a proper college game, doesn't it?
It does.
It does.
Doc, how the devil are you, mate?
Oh, good. As good as can be. We got our situation extended like another month.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess it's weird to me because I've always been out and about kind of guy. But honestly, right before my knee surgery, I had kind of cut back because I had to get ready for surgery. Then I was down for the 5 months anyway. And right when I was like, okay, I can go. They're like, no, you can't. So I've become accustomed to it. So now I think I enjoy being a homebody.
Really?
I have a renewed sense of, hey, this is kind of, other than taking photos, you know, doing the walkabout and taking photos, that's the only thing I would honestly say I miss. It's kind of crazy. I never expected it. It's not me. But I'm
doing
cool
okay. I've been taking pictures of water drops, and I did my King George, me St. George one yesterday. I was really rather chuffed with that. So,
you guys have all have backyards, right? I live in a condo, so.
Well, we have my backyard's probably not as big as your condo. It's only a short backyard. It's 20 foot.
Oh yeah.
20 by 40. It's enough for 33 people at the bash in the July, which we're still pressing forward for, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Hey, we can bash it by Zoom, and then I can come.
And then we can always inject disinfectant if we're worried after that. So. When the boredom gets too much.
Yep.
I got to say, I thought that was a wind-up. I thought that was someone dubbing that. I can't believe that's real.
Nope.
I was quite surprised to find out that was real.
But I want to see some action videos of where when they're putting the ultraviolet light inside his body. That's going to be awesome. There's got to be a deep fake made of that.
Oh my god.
And Patrice, how are you, mate?
Oh, doing good, doing good. Busy as always, and I literally just worked until like 5-10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I heard you lost track of time, so.
Yeah, a little bit. Super busy. I actually wanted to stop early today. Clearly, that didn't happen.
No.
No, but other than that, weather is brilliant. It's nice outside. Good food. What else?
No Apple News.
No Apple News at all.
No. So we've got a question. So Daniel Day has written into us, not made up name, it's his real name. He follows me on Twitter. And he said, he did put, can I make a suggestion for the Mac show? And I said, well, that's fine as long as it's not to talk more Apple News, because I can't help you if it is. And he said, right, so firstly and simply, do you guys think that the iPhone 12 will be USB-C? Or are they looking towards a wireless future totally without a port? And if they are looking to go wireless, what does that mean for the included headphones? Will they introduce included wireless buds, or will they have to purchase the AirPods afterwards going forwards? There we go. Discuss.
That's a good question.
So you at first part. It is good. Well done, Daniel. Thank you for writing in, mate. Yeah. USB-C or no?
I'm not sure. I don't know if it... I think it is the way Apple will go, but I'm not sure if it will be quite as soon as the iPhone 12.
Yeah.
I think it may be the one after that, but I think it's going to be a good long while before we see a phone without a port on it, definitely.
Yeah.
I think that's 3 or 4 versions away, personally.
Yeah.
I'm kind of on the fence on that one. I mean, they're like my gut is telling me they're just gonna ditch it and like just go without
just 0 ports.
Yeah, 0 ports, or like, I mean, there might be like some way of attaching something so that you can have a diagnostic port of some sort.
The only thought would be if they go to 0 ports, they've got to provide you with a charging plate then, and then that's another device to troubleshoot and Genius Bar. Yep. Over and above the phone itself, isn't it? So there might be a negative in that.
The cost of that's much higher as well.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think the cost for Apple will be very fairly limited. I mean, they're already offering wireless charging, so it's kind of, I think, a known entity for them. I think the thing that might be a question mark, or puts a question mark on it for me, is the whole EU and like single charging port thing. Like, what happens if Apple says, well, we're not going to do it because we're simply ditching it? Will the EU allow that, or will they say, no, you have to have a charging port? That is
the hardest part, because the unfortunate part about the EU is a lot of times they think that they're doing, you know, everyone a favor because they're making these rules, but they're making it harder for certain companies to play. And then certain companies will be like, all right, cool, we're out. And then then the customers are asked out and they're out buying with, you know, aftermarket or, you know, second market. I forgot what the proper term is. And then they end up getting shammed, right? We ran into that here when they were like, oh, we're going to ban, you know, a certain thing. So everybody went to the black market to get it. And all everybody did was get spammed. So rather than protecting the people they thought they were protecting, what they ended up doing was creating a hassle, and then more of the patrons got hurt than saved by what they thought they were doing as good.
I mean, the other things as well, because you've got speed of charging as well with that. So if you went to a Qi charger, so last night, for example, we did the BTN quiz, which Magic Man kindly does every week. If you'd like to join in the BTN quiz, then you just need to write to us and we'll let you know how to do it. But my phone was running low on charge, so I went and got my iPad charger, my iPad Pro charger, which is the USB-C one that I bought afterwards, and plugged that in. And I, even still with the screen on and doing the questions online, I was up to 100% within about 5 minutes. So I wouldn't have been able to do that with a Qi charger, trying to hold the two devices together and get a continuity of charge. And also because I was using it, there's no way that a Qi charger is going to keep up with load on that. So
well, no, the Qi charger can keep up with it. I mean, just remember, can't do the same. No, you definitely can't. Like, faster charging is not always good, though. Like, I mean, it's definitely bad for your battery.
When you've got no battery life, it's bloody brilliant, mate. What are you on?
Well, it's great for you, but it's not good for your battery, because it will, like, if you do that all the time, it will kill your battery, literally.
I was just about to say something very similar. It is good to do the odd time. Obviously, that isn't going to really affect you long term, but, you know, you get people come in, oh, yeah, my battery's gone. Oh, all I do is quick charge it, and it's, yeah, you shouldn't do that, but, yeah.
Yeah, so as I said, like I think, I mean, the problem for Apple is if they switch to USB-C, then I think they're going to be stuck with USB-C for another, whatever, 5 to 7 to 10 years, because they don't want to do another transition too soon after.
They're not going to go to USB-C for one tooling setup,
cycle,
are they?
And then switch.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's also going to upset a lot of people because they have to buy new accessories and like all the accessory makers have to switch.
Yeah, but that's not
like
bothered
everything
Apple in
switches
the past.
Over. Nah. Well, it has to some extent. Like, I mean, there's a reason why, like, they have done it. Like, they've switched from the 30 pin, but after that, like, it stayed the same for quite a long time. And there's a reason for it because there is an accessory market.
Yeah.
So I think if they did that and then switched to USB-C and then like a year or two later, they said, oh, by the way, we're not doing this anymore, I think that would be bad. So I think it's either sticking with Lightning and simply saying we're going to go with Lightning until we're ready for the wireless thing, or going with wireless right away.
Also, as well, with the accessories, Apple do have certified partners. So I know, like, for example, in the UK, Anker, I'm sure that they may well be available worldwide. So again, it's how much leeway do you give them? I know they sell other products as well, but I think it'd be quite interesting to see the way the EU kind of react to them saying, "Oh no, we're just not going to have a charger port on there," if that's the way they go. Because what does that actually mean for this? Is the standardized charging port?
Well, there's none, so nothing to standardize.
From a tech viewpoint, though, Callum, do you want to see a USB-C? Is that easy to maintain than Lightning, or is it irrelevant to you?
I mean, to be honest, because we've had Lightning for so long, it's sort of irrelevant. But I think long term, having one cable to charge every device from your MacBook to your phone to everything in between, I think is naturally quite handy. But I think with the way it is at the moment, carrying around two cables instead of one isn't a disaster
I don't want
anyway.
That. Absolutely don't want that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's why I think, like, if Apple is planning on going wireless, they will not go to USB-C, because it's just going to interfere with that roadmap. That's going to push the wireless thing out a couple of years.
That's where Dan's question is probably quite astute, isn't it? In the fact that he's asking what's the roadmap tipping point now, because they've got to choose at this point, because USB-C is kind of ubiquitous and it is a far better port than other ports. So
yes, it is. Yeah.
Plus,
it one of the things that we didn't even mention yet that was also a part of his question is the headphone side of things. And I think with the amount of AirPod Pros that they've sold and, you know, the amount of the regular AirPods that they sold, they definitely probably got their cost down enough where they could include it. But therein lies the catch 22, because you look at the SE just drops out as $400. $400 is amazing price for an Apple device, right? So if they're going towards, let's make the device itself a little bit cheaper, not a good look. And, you know, the question is, would it have been $400 if we weren't all at home doing Zoom meetings? You know, would it have been the normal $500? And that's the difference between a set of these in the box and a set of these not in the box, right? So, like, if they follow the trend of the SE, then they definitely can't do this, right? Well, they can, but they're not, right? But if they are not following the trend of the SE, then this makes sense. So, again, it's a good question because it's very tricky to answer.
Yeah. I mean,
do you think you could see budget Apple wireless earphones?
Well, the fact that they already exist in a whole bunch of other places besides Apple Kit, I would say yes. But no. That's just not normally Apple swag. They normally don't want to make something that's
No, I mean, Apple, the next step for Apple, if they do go without a port, is to walk away from earphones in the setup.
Mm-hmm.
You have to buy an extra. That's... You buy your own brand or you buy...
Yes, yeah. And that's been better. Bouncing around in my head that Apple would say, yeah, we're just not including any sort of earphones with the iPhone anymore.
Yeah.
And while that would be a first for Apple, that's not a first for some other phone makers. There are Android phones you can buy that don't include any sort of headphones.
And I could totally see like even a mixed world where like it's not included, but they have a maybe cheaper, like we've heard rumors about the AirPod Lite, whatever you want to call them, like a cheaper version of the AirPods maybe. I don't know how they would even make it, but I mean, as Doc said, there are like I think like $10-$20 cheap Bluetooth earbuds on the market. So I could totally see Apple offering like an add-on that you can buy for $40. You get like a wireless headphone if you want to.
Yeah.
Or like whatever price they pick, but like a cheap enough price that you can basically tack it onto the phone and it's not ridiculous. And then
like a bundle.
Yeah, kind of. Where they say like it's basically like, I mean, the Apple Pencil, like they sell the Apple Pencil, the keyboard and so on with the iPad Pro. Like it's an accessory, but you can basically, when you order it, you can select it and it just adds a price. Like, I don't know, $49. Let's just pick a number.
Yeah, $49, it's like the trackpad.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you don't have to. Like if you already have AirPods, if you already have headphones, like Beats, whatever, like if you have something and you don't need it, you don't pay for it.
Yeah, Dodds is saying, I wish they didn't supply the earphones as I don't use them anyway. Yes. It would save money. It would save resources. Yeah. And given the fact we had Earth Day yesterday and we had Apple talking about how much they care about the planet, another piece of landfill would be well worth leaving out.
Yeah, I can tell you.
I can tell you
my I've never used mine. Mine have gone to my daughter and she kills them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can tell you, I have a drawer over there with those things that Callum has in his head. I probably got 6 brand new pairs in the drawer over there because they've never come out the package.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, same. All right, so here's another idea. What if Apple goes the other direction with the way they do a bundle for wireless headphones, where there's a price for iPhone and it includes like the low-end AirPods? Or you can take $50 off the cost of your iPhone and get it without any headphones.
That is possible. Yeah, especially on the higher end, like the Pro models, I could totally see that. On the Pro models, they might even include the AirPods simply and say, okay, it's a Pro phone. By default, you get the AirPods if you don't need them.
Make it more attractive. Okay. Or if you go above 64 gig and you go to 128 or 256, something like that.
Yeah.
I'd be down for the Apple DIY cochlear implant.
Yeah, Tim was talking about wearables, to be fair.
slap that sucker on and boom, you don't need headphones. You're good.
Yeah, no, that's good.
There's another question like included in the original question. What's with other accessories? Like how do you connect them? Because there are a lot of accessories out there that, like, I don't know, microphones and like all the dongles that Apple has, how do you connect them to your phone?
Also,
one
thing that we use a lot is HDMI. I use HDMI out on a regular basis.
Even so Apple, how I'm going to do that? They use that for their presentations all the time.
Yeah. All right, so I have an idea on that, and it sucks. So Apple puts... Apple puts a data port on. Well, yeah, I just wanted to prepare you for this. So Apple puts a smart connector thing on the iPhone, like we see on the iPad Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Then you buy the accessory sled that has USB-C or Lightning or whatever the port is on it, and then you put your iPhone into this special dock that has the ports on it. And now you can do your HDMI and stuff like that. Oh. And it's an absolutely awful idea, but it's one that I could actually see happening.
An accessory. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I had a very similar idea, but without like wirelessly, kind of wirelessly without the port. Basically, like the charger for the Apple Watch works like a little magnetic puck that you stick to your phone, and that one has a port where you can plug something in. Something like that, I could see.
Like that.
Another thing that I was thinking as well, obviously kind of coming from my point of view and what I do, if you want to make a local backup of something, unless you want to buy one of those adapters or a sled or something like that, like how would you go about doing that without a port?
I use iMazing on a daily basis.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I mean, those tools actually work over wireless, so that's not a big deal. Apple introduced that years ago. I just thought about like they could do some like a combination between the old Magic, what was it called, the Magic connector on the MacBook, MagSafe, that was the name, yeah, the MagSafe, like a combination between a MagSafe connector but without a physical connection, more like a wireless connection of some sort. They could do that. It would not be impossible. You just plug it, like you just attach it to the bottom or the side or whatever. Like there's a little area, like kind of like the Apple Pencil on the iPad Pros. There's a little area dedicated for that where you can basically attach it. Like that.
Batwench has invented a brand new device from Apple. It's called the II, which is a robotic eye pull. They put in II. II.
Yeah.
It's stuttering.
Yeah, I think there are some solutions for that, but it is I think an important question that Apple will have to answer if they go fully wireless.
Yeah, I think the number of people that would give a stuff about losing a charger though is we're at the CD end of that now, so the majority of market wouldn't care less about there being a port. So I could see Apple just saying stuff it, it's gone.
Yeah, that definitely it's the accessory market.
And like you and your iMazing and your bulk dump or whatever tough.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, like all of that can be done over wireless connections or whatever.
That's
like
it, though. The Genius Bar do a lot of diagnostics through cables, don't they? So
That's why you have that little smart port on the phone
and on the watch.
Yeah.
We already have that on the watch.
Where you would get rid of all ports is the watch, and they've still got that little smart connector.
Well, that smart connector is not accessible, not even in store. Like they can't.
I thought that was diagnostic.
No. The only people who I think can do it is somewhere.
Steve Jobs and Tim Apple.
No. It is accessible, but not in store. Like they don't open.
And President Trump. Good comment from Magic Man in the chat room. He suggested that Trump may be slightly orange because he's actually been injecting things for quite a while, and he's injected Ron Seal deck stain. I think. I've been injecting Ron Seal deck stain might actually be the title of the show.
Okay.
So iPhone SE dropped yesterday, today, slash. Lot of good reports. WinRider in the chat room here has got his as well. And he did a Geekbench test on it yesterday, which he published into the Slack room. And it was mighty impressive. It's a big, powerful phone in comparison to the price at $400.
Yeah, I mean only single core, but like I mean it shows you how good the chips are now.
Yeah,
like even in a small phone that is definitely not the top of the line, like CPU wise, because it has to work with the battery and with the thermal limitations of a small phone and a small device, and it still works and it's still crazy fast. So just imagine that scaled up to like a proper laptop.
Yeah, I have to say, WinRider is the only person I know that's taken one of these in the pre-order. I don't know anyone else that's pre-ordered. Which I don't know if that's telling or not.
I don't think that's telling. I think that's just the nature of where we are right now, where with extra isolation happening. There are, I think, fewer people that we all know that are either picking up the phones or are talking about it. So we're just not hearing as much about it. But my guess is that Apple is selling at least in line with what they expected.
Mm. Yeah, and we're also not like not in the target audience for the most part.
Well, you say that, few of us. But there was a story today about that I saw about Apple cutting back on production for reduced demand, and a lot of people, about 50% of staff being laid off.
No, I doubt that.
I honestly
don't believe that.
I think everybody wants Apple to delete people, not from a heinous standpoint, but from a point that it gives them something to write about and go on about. They were the first company that I know of, and I'm not going to say they're the only ones, but because I have so many friends that work there, like when they shut down the stores earlier than everybody, they said, okay, we're going to pay you till the end of April. And then when we made changes, they're like, okay, we're going to pay you till the end of May. And just in retail employees alone, they're sitting on about 64,000 people. And Apple doesn't pay $7.25 an hour or $15 an hour. That's not minimum wage, right? So they just said straight out the gate, like, and in the grand scheme of things, that might cost them upwards of $500 million or so. It's barely a blink, because all of this time they had all this cash on hand, and everyone goes, Apple's too cash fat. They should get rid of some of the cash. They should buy something. Mm-hmm. And then now everybody has a job and everyone's well taken care of and their kids
they
are
fed. People.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So they're the one company out there in this environment. I won't say one again. I'm not that fair.
I mean, it was interesting that Trudeau said, you know, Canada's been saving for a rainy day. Well, it's raining.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And my business partner is from Canada, and he's been talking to his people every day. He's like, they're going some crazy mess right now. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think they did good, though, you know, and with that, you know, good on them. I don't think they're going to lay anybody off. I think it's a good story.
It's a Financial Times story that I'm talking about, and it says multiple workers at Foxconn's Zhengzhou complex, where offerings assemble, have been paused for hiring. They've cut all of the temporary workers and hires, and they're also looking at overtime reductions being cut completely as well. So... but they're talking about they will be cutting employees due to falling demand in the near future.
Okay, so it's not Apple specific employees; it's Foxconn.
Well, it's the supplier, Zhengzhou one.
it's always Apple.
Yeah, no, but it didn't say that. But it's the Zhengzhou site which only does the iPhones. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody can really predict what the demand will be. I mean, my expectation is still there might be a little delay in demand, but ultimately it will just delay. Like, people might just push it out a little bit more. We'll see. But I think right now it's simply not predictable. Like, cutting overtime and stuff like that is probably, like, yeah, something they can do without laying off people yet.
I still think it's probably going to end up being one of the most popular iPhones, if not the most popular.
The SE.
The SE, yeah. Well, it's because of where the price it sits point. On the 10R, though, because it seems like it's as good a phone as the 10R-ish, but it's not, you know, the gap between the two is not $300. We said this the other week, isn't it?
It's
the gap
between I can see them getting rid of the 10R, and I think the SE is going to be very popular just because, you know, forgetting about how close it is to the 10R, it's a £400 iPhone, which is just... You know, it's going to sell a lot, in my opinion.
Yeah,
the 10R is going to get phased out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, as I said, like, I think right now a lot of people are cautious, which makes sense. Demand, I mean, we haven't seen the numbers yet. I think they're coming out end of the month, so next week. Well, we won't get any iPhone numbers, but we will get, like, the revenue. I mean, we can expect it to drop. Like, I mean, Apple's closed all the stores. I don't think a lot of companies probably didn't buy stuff. A lot of people didn't buy either. So the demand is definitely down. It's just a matter of, is it, like, as I said, deferred demand, or is it, like, really down?
I think it's deferred demand. And well, here's the thing. We can't help but hear these stories and apply the lens that applies to us in these stories. Mm. But... It's China. It's different, right? Like, okay, So there are going to be people that will lose, you know, their jobs or lose their amount of work per se, because there's definitely going to be a global shrinkage in buying stuff. But they got healthcare. We don't. So, you know, I mean, it's a different game. Like, you guys have healthcare. We don't.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
freaking brilliant.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So the people who wrote this story are sitting in the U.S. with effed up hair care, pardon my French, and they write things from the doom and gloom angle for what they know, but it's not like that to the rest of the world. Like, I got buddies of mine in Japan that lost their jobs, but they are well taken care of. So you lose your job, loses your sense of pride. It doesn't make you broke.
Yeah, I mean, the difference between us and you is my mom fell over a couple of Sundays ago and broke her hip. At 1 o'clock in the morning, an ambulance was there taking her away. By 4 p.m. that day, she'd been transferred to a new hospital and she'd been given a brand new hip, and the operation was done by 4 p.m. Now, you could do that. There's no problem with that. But the difference is all the money's still in my mom's bank account.
They would still be trying to find my insurance card to make sure that it's okay.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I didn't have it pinned to my body or somewhere where they can get it, it's like, we're not moving you unless we know you have an insurance card.
Maybe that's
or we look around the house and like, oh, he can pay for this. Let's take him.
Maybe maybe that's Trump's idea, is the fact that the people that turn up and they can't find an insurance card, just inject them with disinfectant.
Just disinfect them.
And hell, it'll work out in the wash.
A little bit
doing an internal disinfection. UV light and
we're good.
God, Bennett. There is a certain element of that which is concentration camp level. Yeah, just inject him with disinfectant, see what happens, eh? The thing is, when he turns to the woman and he says to her, "So I suggested this, and you're going to test that, right?" And she's like, "Is that a presidential order? Like, you want me to inject some volunteers with disinfectant?"
Is he going to volunteer now?
He is going to volunteer Eric.
Mad times.
I think to your point about like perspectives, I think it's also a little bit our perspective. I mean, people in the IT industry in the wider sense, like working somewhere in the tech industry, have less of an issue because they're usually one higher paid. A lot of jobs can easily move. I mean, Callum excluded in this case, but they can easily work from home, or like in Jeff's case, already are working from home. We're like better off than a lot of people, and that's why I said like how much is deferred and how much is really like a drop in demand. And I think there will be a little bit of both, because there were like in the US 10 million people who lost their jobs, like probably more at this point, but it was recently, it was like within a couple of weeks, it was 10 million. That is happening in a lot of other countries as well. Like, I mean, all the restaurant workers and everybody. And those people, the question for Apple is how many of those would have bought an iPhone? Like, how many of those would even be in their target audience? As I said, I expect it to be like a little bit of both. And I think anybody who's smart is probably thinking the same thing. And Apple is definitely looking at it and simply saying, let's be a little bit more conservative with our estimates and see what happens. And they can always, I mean, they've proven that if demand like is crazy high all of a sudden, they didn't expect it, that they can ramp up production pretty fast. It might take them a couple of weeks.
I can remember the iPhone 10, mate. No, they can't. I waited ages for that sodding phone.
Like, remember like the AirPods, for example, like they were.
Yeah, they were 2 years late.
They took forever.
I was turning up daily at Apple stores for a while to try and get a pair, and I couldn't.
But they ramped up production pretty fast still for stuff like that. Same with the iPhones. I mean, yeah, it's not immediate. Like, they can't just have a million of them tomorrow. But Apple has proven that they can do it. It doesn't take them a year to fix it.
If I don't have it the day after I want it, mate, I'm not interested. And I'm not queuing for it either.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I remember the iPhone 10 and how popular it was and how hard it was to get it. Like, I don't remember that. But Apple, as I said, Apple is one of the companies that can actually do it. Like, if they have to, they can ramp up production pretty fast.
I don't like queuing. we used to have like nightclubs and people used to go, oh, let's queue to get into X nightclub. And you're like, I'm not queuing to get in a bloody nightclub. Not a chance. I'm not queuing. Sharon said, should we go to Costco on the way back? And the queue was round the door and back down the ramp. Like, there is nothing in Costco that I want to stand in a queue for an hour for.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm the same.
Next one. So Apple has launched on 2018 and later Samsung Smart TVs, Apple Music. Nice. Apple and Samsung partnered to launch Apple Music for Samsung TVs. It'll only be for anything that's purchased after 2018. I think this is brilliant. I mean, and the thing is, it's an essential thing, isn't it? They have to get Apple Music onto as many platforms as possible. They can't start. It's not a driver for device sales anymore. It's not a, you know, if you want Apple Music, great, but you've got to have an iPad, you've got to have an iPhone, you've got to have it on everything. It's got to be out there on every single available device for it to make any difference. Otherwise, you're pointless. Because Spotify's on every device, because Pandora's on every device, etc., etc. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
All right, so you just don't fancy talking about that one then.
Just like, I don't know what to
I'm
say
contemplating,
about that.
I'm contemplating an answer because I don't think it ever was a driver for sales. I think it was just an accessory. Accessory is not the right word, but I don't think
it
ever
was. No,
but
you have to be in the Apple ecosphere to have the benefit of Apple Music.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. But
it was a bonus come driver for Apple devices, whereas now they've hit the ceiling on that. They've got to drive it out separately because they're never going to compete with the other devices that can go anywhere.
I think it has to do more with expanding services than trying to make you buy a device because they make way more money on services than device.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's actually not true. The Apple Music was available on other platforms. Really, like even the web. I mean, now it's out of beta, finally. But it was available on the web before, and I think it was available on Android even. So, like, it's not that you didn't have to have an Apple device to be on Apple Music. I mean, did anybody do it? I don't know.
My guess is that there were a few people, but you know, the bigger thing is do the Netflix strategy and get your service everywhere you possibly can so that it's easily available, and then people are more likely to be using it.
Yeah. So, you guys remember the Red movie tickets? Like, you bought anything electronic that had a screen or connected to a screen, and it came with a Red movie ticket that allowed you to sign up for Netflix?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yes.
It was in everything. It was the modern AOL disc slapped to a magazine.
God, yeah, I remember totally. AOL discs. I made a curtain out of AOL discs in an apartment I had. You used to go and pick them up at the supermarket, stick them face to face, and then drill top and bottom, and then put fish wire between them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we use them to keep the birds away from the mango trees. Just hang AOL disc in the trees. The birds and the owls won't eat the mangoes.
Can you still get, I bet AOL discs. You see, we were there scoffing and we treated them like they were absolute shit. But actually, if you had an AOL disc in the sleeve now, it'd probably be worth $500.
Oh, easy. And you know what's funny? Callum is going, what the hell is an AOL disc?
What's a dial-up modem?
What is AOL?
What did they call AOL in the UK? BKOL?
AOL?
No, it was AOL. Just AOL.
It was a joke. It was a joke, people.
It's okay, Doc. I thought it was funny.
Thank you, Jeff.
I haven't understood the last 5 minutes.
Hey, Doc, how do you feel about eWorld? Patrice isn't talking, and I talked right over.
Oh, don't worry. I was actually going to confirm something you said. You talked about services and being available everywhere, and just look at how Apple rolled out the Apple TV Plus like service. Basically, partnering up with like a lot of manufacturers and like Amazon and like whoever they could probably get in to have it available in like as many places as possible, not just on the web. Again, there's a web page for that, and you can go there and watch Apple TV Plus, but also on the devices.
Yeah. ARM chips coming by 2021, says Ming Chi Kyo. Which may be true, maybe not. What do you reckon?
I think he's only partly true.
Go on.
Here's my hypothesis. I think that because of what would be involved in getting every app for the Mac recompiled and updated so that it's ARM native is a task that a lot of developers just simply aren't going to be on board with. So what I think Apple will do is a transition where they have co-processors in the Mac. We have an Intel and a computer level ARM processor. So you can have your native ARM content, but then you also have this Intel co-processor that's in there to handle the native stuff. Now, while I say that, I will also toss in the idea that if Apple develops an ARM processor for the desktop and laptop that's powerful enough, then they could do something like they did with Rosetta, where they have an emulation mode for the Intel native apps.
Yeah, that's what I've read and heard. Like apparently around 2012, they had like the first desktop ARM based on whatever the ARM chip was back then. Like desktop in air quotes in this case, like the first prototype, which would track. I mean, then that would track with like about a 10-year development cycle, which is not unusual. It takes quite a while to get it to like be ready. I don't think the co-processor thing is going to work out. That is very, very difficult to do, especially if you have two different architectures running. I mean, it's got
Holy Hell written all over it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of already in current Macs because they have the T2 chip in there. And as far as I know, that is an ARM system on chip.
Right.
But it's severely limited, and I think that I just don't believe that it's gonna work as well. I think the Rosetta thing has more promise. Simply, I mean, especially if they're as efficient, as fast, and as power efficient as well as we think they are, I could totally see that simply being an emulation thing.
And you brought up something that I had completely forgotten about, which totally surprises me, which is that when we got the Intel Mac, Apple said, oh, and by the way, we've always had Intel Macs in the lab for OS X from day one. So that being said, sure, they may very well have been running ARM-based Macs in a lab where it's just an ARM processor for years. And if that's the case, then I'm straight up wrong on a co-processor idea, and it'll be an emulator thing. And we will be surprised at how well it works, and it will address the issue of developers getting their apps to be ARM native.
Is there going to be a watershed date?
They'll have a nice window of time.
Is there going to be a watershed date then, though, for old apps?
Of course, just like there was with Rosetta.
Yeah, in about 10 years or so. It's gonna take a while. I have a strong suspicion that the whole 64-bit transition that we like talked about and that like was forced at this point, that has something to do with their roadmap, that they had to do that now. I mean, they also like it was long announced, and like a lot of everybody had more than enough time to transition, and a lot of people didn't. As usual, but I think it. I have a feeling that it has that they did that last year has something to do with either this year or next year them being like doing this transition. I think 64-bit is in some way key for it to work properly, because the new processor, the ARM processors, are 64-bit.
The 32s,
Yeah.
Right. So I have another question then. How do kexts fit into this? Because I believe it's next year we do support for kexts. Now, is that part of the ARM thing, or is that just a security thing?
this year, and I have, like, I think it's the same thing. I think it's because it's a new API, and Apple, I mean, they've said, like, they've been working on this forever. I don't know how long. I've heard that 2012 they had an ARM CPU for desktop, so at least that long. And I'm pretty sure that, like, the APIs that were written for the new driver kit and so on, that they were written with, okay, how do we do this and have it running on ARM later on in mind. I'm 100% convinced that they had that. So I think it's probably, and it's actually this year, with the next version of macOS, they're going to do that. That's it. Like,
That's what I meant. Next version of macOS.
Yeah. So I would say that's probably, I mean, I don't know, but it's probably strongly related that they're basically getting all the ducks in a row to, like, transition or start that transition. And it will be a slow transition. I mean, they will probably do, like, one Mac, maybe, like, a lower, whatever, a MacBook type device first, and then, like, go upstream. At least that's what I would suspect. I don't think the processor
a practice device.
Yeah,
something like that. Something developers can buy and work with and test, and they can work out all the kinks.
Like what Apple did with
it's called the Apple iPad.
Yeah, kind of. It is. I mean, I'm pretty sure they've been practicing with the iPad to some extent.
Yes, and the Apple TV, same.
And I mean, if you remember back when they introduced what was called iPhone OS, it was a variant of Mac OS. Like, the kernel and some underpinnings were and are to this day the same, I think. So it's not that Apple hasn't been working with some stuff under their hoods, like on ARM. They basically did that from day one.
Let me posit a prognostication here.
Mm-hmm.
Apple will go down this route, and inevitably some company more larger than should have this problem, not necessarily, you know, where it's like you and Jeff in the back room making something, will wait till the last minute, not do what they're supposed to do, that everything will switch to ARM, and then they will scream and their customers will scream holy high hell because their program doesn't work, even though the company's had how many years warning, like we went through with the deleting of KEX. It's happening right now. There's companies losing their mind because, oh, it's not going to work. So you've been told for so long, you had time. You absolutely had time, but you're busy money grabbing. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, the only thing, the kernel extension and driver kit thing, there wasn't much time on that one. And that might be why maybe it's not happening this, like, well, maybe the whole ARM transition is not happening this year, but next year, to simply give everybody, like, an extra time. Because as far as I remember, they only announced that in 2018. So it hasn't...
To get rid of drivers?
Much. Yeah, it hasn't been
2 years. 2 years in tech is cat years, dog.
It is, but then, I mean, then
that was a funny statement. It's cat years, dog, get it? But never mind.
Yeah, but I mean, look at the 32-bit thing and how many companies and apps
did. Oh, yeah, that's transition. The one. That was the one that had me set up, was the 32-bit thing. That's, sorry, not the driver thing. Yeah. That's correct. You fixed my thought. Yeah. But yes.
Point here from Windrider. Thunderbolt is Intel-based, isn't it? And it's, I think Thunderbolt 3 is Intel and Apple conglomeration, isn't it? So how would that work with AMD processors? Would they be forced to make it work, or are they just going to dump it?
As far as I know, it already does. I think you can, like, because it's ultimately only PCI Express, I think you can already do that without having an Intel architecture. I might be wrong, like, I'm not the right person to talk about this.
I think you're correct on that.
I think you are as well. Thinking about
it. Yeah, and keep in mind that USB was originally something that Intel was working on. And USB works on everything.
Yeah, by the way.
Not just Intel-based stuff.
Maybe also related, since you brought up USB. USB 4 and Thunderbolt are merging. Basically, there will not be a Thunderbolt 4 or like a USB 4. It will just be one thing. Like, not separate things in the same cable. It's one thing.
Oh.
It was already announced, so maybe also a reason for that. Like, we don't know. I mean, that's probably like at least a year or two off, or I don't know how long, honestly. but might be the same thing, like a reason for that. Yeah. Also, a good question came up in the chat room. I think Magic Man asked why ARM when they have their own A chip, A13 Bionic chips, and actually all the A chips are ARM based.
ARM
the
chips.
Architecture
yeah.
are, mm-hmm. The architecture underlying architecture is ARM.
That's why I said iPad when they talked about a device for the developers to practice on. Mm-hmm. That was exactly the basis of my comment.
Yeah, and I mean, there's this rumor that Apple's not even going to release any new device at first. They're simply going to say, hey, here is a custom image for your iPad where you can install basically the new version of macOS on your iPad and use it. Like right now with the keyboard and the trackpad, that would be totally doable.
Ewan, why did you groan?
No, I don't know. I don't know why I groaned. It was just like, yes. So
I thought you had to go do a pinch and we had to hold the show while you disappeared.
No. This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. We love them. Sort them out because they're great. I had a conversation with a girl that I've known for about 25 years now. And she was she does like HR. And she wants to start doing a bit of coaching and mentoring type stuff because she's pretty good at it. So she said, I want to set up a web page. What are my options? And we talked about Squarespace. And she's like, yeah, okay, but I want something that's more my control, more that I can do. So I said, well, what about WordPress? And she went, is it that hard? I said, no, WordPress is not a lot harder. And I said, actually, if you go to TSO Host and use the offer code BTN20, you'll get 20% off. See where I was going with this. And I said, they start with WordPress packages, if you just want a simple information package, from £12 a year. And she went, yeah, but £12 a month's more expensive. No, £12 a year, Emma. Oh, right. Okay, yeah, that sounds really good. So she's looked into that. There's excellent web and word processing, WordPress stuff going on with them. And you can see there on the page that I've just shoved up, they have got discounts at the moment of up to 33%. Now, whether you get the BTN20 on top of that or not, I don't. But you will get a massive deal at the moment on WordPress hosting from TSO Host. So check them out. And please, the last couple of weeks, we've kind of died off a little bit on this. But I really need you guys to get on the socials because the return on investment for these guys is not about what you buy in the store using the offer code. The return on investment is the brand recognition. It is all about you hitting the socials and saying, thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. Please get out there and do that because it is not wasted effort on your part. It is the effort that we require. Same thing really with iMen Max. Callum's here from iMen Max. They're in lockdown at the moment, so they're not fixing an awful lot of stuff at the moment, but they are doing refurbished machines. Anything with an Apple logo on it, they'll repair it for you. And after last week's show, they're even going to have a stab at a Pixelbook that might be that's full of water. We'll see.
Why
not? It can't get any worse. They do data recovery. They've got a whole support system for your company if you're a company-based individual. And they have loads of refurb machines, Callum. Have you got a machine of the week for us, buddy?
Same as last week, so we've still got an awful lot of 21.5-inch iMac. So I think we've still got at least four left I know of in my head. So, yeah, go onto the website.
Are you been selling them,
That's
good, then.
So pop onto the website again. If you mention BTN, you get your 5% off. We've got quite a bit of stuff as well. I think we've got a couple of MacBooks as well. Actually had someone from BTN inquire about them today, so get on there, have a look at it, and if you've got any questions, you know where we are as well. So
brilliant, mate, thank you so much. Right, Jeffrey, time for the cool thing. Would you start us off?
Sure. My cool thing is an iPhone and iPad app, and I just realized I don't have the link for you. I'm sorry. It's called Underwatch. And the premise of the game, it's like a puzzle maze sort of game.
Yeah.
And the premise is you are a mouse in a lab, and you are finding your way through the rooms and escaping the lab. And and that's it. You avoid the light from the security cameras. If you get into the light, then you've been detected, and you have to start the level over. And
is that it?
That's it. Yes, the graphics are simple. They have kind of a noir thing going on, but they're also really neat. It's I like how the game looks. It's one of those games where you can play it for a few minutes, get through a couple levels, and then go on with your day, or you can play for quite a while and just, you know, like zone out. And you can set the difficulty level. So if you want something where you can just kill time and have, you know, just kind of this cool music soundtrack and these simple but kind of cool looking graphics while you just work your way through all these rooms, put it on the easy level and away you go. And I haven't hit anything in this yet where it says pay to upgrade or unlock other levels. I think it's just straight up free for the whole game.
There's no adverts either.
Yeah, it's just a simple yet cool little game, and it's free.
Well, well, well. Look at that. Matthias Schlenker, thank you very much for your patronage, mate, and your freeness. Superb. Like that a lot. Good stuff. Nice pick, Jeff. Good man. Callum, what have you got for us, mate?
So I've got an app that's part of Setup, as mine usually are.
Staple, yeah.
Yeah, it's called Chatmate, and it's basically a client for WhatsApp on your Mac. I've been using it for 2 or 3 days now, and I found it to be much better than the one WhatsApp provide or you can get off the WhatsApp website.
Wait, what's this one called?
Chatmate.
Chatmate.
I've not seen this.
It's part of Setup. I mean, I have no end of issues. Like, I'll have my computer on my desk and my phone will be sat right next to it. I'll walk away and it'll have logged out and just all sorts of annoying things. And it seems to not do that so far. So,
I've been very impressed with it. I've got to say my WhatsApp runs when I'm here, not here as well.
I have no end of issues with mine. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But I've been really impressed with it. It's got a dark mode as well, which I don't believe WhatsApp has. So
WhatsApp app, I find a little bit square. It doesn't flow. It's not a pleasant UI. It's a functional UI.
I've found a few bugs in it as well, personally. Yeah. Especially when you're trying to put files into chats and things like that. There was a good long while where you couldn't press the attachment button and browse for things you have to click and drag them and things like that, and it just seems to make it like a much more nicer user experience on the Mac when you're using WhatsApp. So it's part of Setup. I've used it for a couple of days. I've been very impressed with it. So
Chatmate, cool.
Okay, give that a go. Definitely. Doc, what have you got for us, mate?
All right, so sorry, Callum. I got this Hyperjuice. It's a 100-watt gallium nitride USB charger. Brother, as a person who travels, this thing is legit. I don't know how to do the calculation in my head, but I want to say it's about 100 grams, maybe less. Anyway, duck lips pop out, and you have 200-watt USB jammies. And you have 2 18-watt old school USB jammies. So USB-C, USB 3, just crazy light, like weighs next to nothing. And because it's gallium nitride, it doesn't get hot. It's not heavy. And so when you go and you got a modern, like your iPad or your MacBook Pro, like the USB style, you don't have to bring the Apple brick and then the extra cord and then the duck lips and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
You just come with this. And now if you're one of the cats that live where you live, they're in here. The big ugly one you guys got, and then the two ones.
You'll find ours is far safer than yours.
100%. That's not the point. I'm just saying.
It can carry more voltage, so it means that things don't run out of juice when you walk 10 feet away.
It's just big. That's all I'm saying. Relax, cousin.
No. I'm not having you go in an R13 13 amp plug, mate.
Hey,
Big is better.
Keep your sausage in your knickers, okay? All I'm saying is that this guy for $69 is absolutely freaking amazing, and it light, and whatever Callum says about fast charging, I'm only using it when it travels, so don't worry about it.
Good man, like that.
Legit.
Patrice, what have you got for us, buddy?
I got something from Setup as well. I mean, the app itself from Setup. Yeah, it's
oh, you bastard, you've got mine.
I did.
I was going to pick forklift.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Let me see. Maybe I have
something. No, you do it. No, it's all right. It's fine.
Okay.
You go for it.
Good. So we talked about Finder and how crappy it is in the past. And it made me think about the app, like the file browsing app I've been using for years, like literally years. Like, I don't know how long even, like multiple years. I bought it before ZApp, before ZApp even existed. Like, it's a really, really good file browser. Like, it's what Finder could have been if someone actually cared. Let's put it that way. It's like, it has multiple panes, it has tabs, you can, like, it's easy to navigate with your keyboard. It's like, it can connect to almost any, like, any network share or whatever I want. Like, no matter what it is, I can access it. Like, even our servers, I can basically send, like, do an SFTP connection to, and which is basically SSH, and like drop files there. I can literally do anything I need with this one app, and it is super fast, never crapped out on me over the years, like never had any issues. It just works. As I said, it's what Finder should have been.
I was very close to picking that today. I'm glad I didn't.
My cool thing is forklift. I'm going to go slightly different because I haven't used it as a Finder application because I agree that swapping over a Finder is pretty good. And the thing that was nice about it is if you bump up against a, do you want to overwrite this? It carries on with all the other stuff. It doesn't stop, which Finder does, which is horrific.
Nice.
But I used FileZilla for years, and I've always, always really enjoyed FileZilla. I've never had any problems with it. You regularly get updates for it, so you feel like they're invested in the app, even though it's free. But I did get permissions errors on our servers. It wouldn't let me into certain folders, and it would let me into others. And there was no good reason, because I was actually getting into it with exactly the same log on. There was no reason it should stop. And Andy, Anders, who I work with on Sentry with, he suggested forklift, and as soon as I put it in, it worked first time, and it was rock solid. So I'm just going to endorse Patrice there and say I only use it for FTP stuff, not Finder stuff. But I've had to think now that you've said that, I might try and just do the Finder thing with it as well. If you want to know any of the links for any of the stuff that we've done today, then all you got to do is go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and navigate to the 24th of April, and you'll see all of the links to all of the pieces of software that we've got in there that we've recommended today. And likewise as well, if you go to the website and click on the support us icons or the donate icons, you can donate $5, $10 or $20 to us each month, and that goes towards paying Kyle to do the news show every single day and helping us out with equipment and that kind of stuff when we're stuck for it. So please. So the mic I'm on at the moment, for example, that came out of donations for people, so that we could still do the shows from remote locations and those kind of things. So please get on there. We could do with your support, because if we don't get the money to pay Kyle to do the new show just disappears. So we would be grateful if you would bother. That'd be nice. And it's $5 a month. It's not even two cups of coffee. So debate if you go to Starbucks, it's probably not even one.
Yeah.
Where can we get a hold of you? Sorry, go on, mate.
As I said, if you order it for delivery, it's not even half a coffee.
No, true. Jeffrey, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
How about over at textexpander.com and Jay Gamet on Twitter and Instagram. And I should give you an update on webinars that are coming up.
Yeah.
So let's see. I did a beginner webinar yesterday, and the next webinar that I have coming up, I believe, is May 5th, which will be a cool one because it's an advanced webinar. So I'm going to go into some
more
detailed stuff you can do.
Yep, that's good. Are you going to run a BTN one if we get enough requests, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. If enough BTN people want one, we will do a special BTN exclusive Text Expander webinar.
I like that a lot.
Yep.
Thanks, mate. And if you want to get Text Expander, it's BTN 2020, and you get 20% off. Thanks to us, exclusive to BTN listeners. So thanks so much for that, Jeff. That's awesome.
It's because I love everyone here.
Yeah, we love you too. Callum, where are you, buddy?
Yeah, so you can get hold of us at imnmax.com, all of the usual socials. Drop us an email at info@imnmax. I'm at O'Hara Callum. On Twitter, and yeah, if you've got any questions, get in touch with us. We are still here, and still helping people out. So
are you coming back for Big?
Yeah, I will do. Yeah.
Okay, good man. That'd be good. Doc, where will you be, mate?
You can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK. Doing a lot of live stuff on YouTube and Facebook Live at the moment. And
yeah, I need to watch your video today.
At Doc Rock. Yeah, this live stuff is the new. And it's funny because I've been doing it forever, but it's always like dabbling here and there, you know? It's like the guy who just, you know, I have the time, I'm doing it, and I'm becoming a live stream sommelier. Like, I don't know what the word for it is, but yeah, it's so much fun and the interaction is different. Like, this show would do really well on like a platform like Facebook Live or YouTube Live.
So you're tasting wine live on YouTube, is that what you're saying?
No, God, no. I actually hate wine nowadays. It's weird. I used to love it. Now I don't like it anymore.
Okay.
All right, Doc, how about a live whiskey tasting? And I am in.
All right, now that'll do.
Give over.
Yeah. Why you got
to
give over?
I thought you had to go early, Jeff. And you start a conversation on whiskey. It was 6 minutes to go.
That was
just plain stupid.
Yes, it was. And yet here I am.
I'm gonna invite you in because he's right there where a lot of the best stuff is.
No, I like whiskeys, yeah, but only like certain whiskeys, yeah. And I don't like peaty whiskeys, and I can't be doing with them. The Japanese stuff I find a bit harsh, so I like the softer mouth stuff.
I don't like peaty whiskeys, but there are a couple that I like. It's really weird because the straight up Lafroy like ass kicking
that one.
Oh, bruh. I'm like, sorry, Pete, kick my ass. I don't want that.
We should do the whiskey show. We'll do a whiskey show. There we go.
Bro.
And we'll get the health show going again. Yeah, no, I'm in. And we'll get Ken on as well. Ken will come. Patrice, where would you be?
Every week here on the Mac Show.
Stop laughing.
The Big Show. Yeah, I'm still laughing about you guys. every week here on the Mac Show, the Big Show. I started a new podcast as well. Episode 3 was published on Monday. Monday. With Jeff. Really like one of my favorite episodes.
I thought I was so your favorite. Oh, mate. You 1 week to the next. You love Tom, and then you love me, and now you love Jeff.
It's like 1 week, like all, like every week is fun. Like all, I've recorded 6 so far, and all of them are different, and all of them have been a lot of fun. So I'm really enjoying it. Foodieflashback.com if you want to listen, and if you want to be on, I did an interview with Tom Ferry, for example.
Cool.
I was totally not a foodie, never done a podcast before. We did it. It was great. So don't be afraid. If you want to be on, ping me either on Twitter at foodieflashback or foodieflashback.com or wherever you will find me. Everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Thanks, mate. Brilliant. My name is Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be here for the photo show. I've got a guy called Paul Painter coming in, who's a Birmingham-based photographer. He's a good portrait photographer. So he's going to come and give us a bit of advice on lighting and that kind of stuff as well, because the guys want a question on lighting. That's happening at 6 o'clock, so 30 minutes away. And then the big show's on at 8 p.m., which will be absolutely hilarious, because my wife has decided that she's going to join the local Zoom bingo night with a WhatsApp app that does bingo. And Bryony's joined in as well. So Bryony's going to be upstairs on her phone. Sharon's going to be downstairs on her laptop. Ellis is going to be playing his PS4. And I'm broadcasting to you lot. So Virgin will be absolutely earning their money this evening. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Stay in. Don't listen to a word that Trump tells you. And we'll see you next week if you do. Have a good weekend. Bye.